turn with me, if you will, to 1 Samuel chapter 3. I'm going to read the passage just because it flows as a narrative, and then we'll work through it together. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there was no frequent vision. At the time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord said to Samuel, and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you have called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you have called me." But he said, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you have called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from the beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." And Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more if you hide anything from me, all of that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again to Shiloh at Shiloh, and the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Please pray with me. Father, I pray now that you assist and you aid me. Father, I pray that you speak to the congregation tonight. Father, I pray that I am minimized and that you are maximized. Help us to understand this story and help us to learn from it. And Father, I pray that you change us tonight. Father, I pray that you continue to sanctify us together as a group who meets. Let us sharpen one another in ways. Let us exemplify love of one another like no other church. Father, I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. So, summary of where we are. We saw in chapter 1, we were introduced to a man named Elkanah. He had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. Hannah, who was barren, and he loved her. The text says, but to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. So even though in that culture childbearing was huge, she was barren. She couldn't give him any kind of offspring or any kind of just anywhere, any lineage to pass down. But he still loved her enough that he gave her a double portion. We saw that Peninnah was able to have children and that she was jealous in some ways and she would provoke Hannah. We saw that Hannah prayed to the Lord. 1 Samuel 12 and 13, we saw that as she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli took her to be a drunken woman. But the Lord answered her prayer that night. We saw that in 26 and 28 of chapter 1. Chapter 1. And it said, and she said, O my Lord, as you live, O my Lord, I am the woman who is standing here in your presence praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord granted to me my petition and I made to him. Therefore, I have lent to him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord. So we saw that. We saw a woman who was seeking after the Lord, who wanted to have a child so that she dedicated to the Lord eventually because the Lord granted and heard her cry. We saw that. So that set the stage for Samuel. But we saw in Eli's family in chapter 2 that he had two sons and that they were worthless men. They did not know the Lord. We saw that they would mess with the food from the offering and take parts that they weren't supposed to take. 1 Samuel 2, verse 17 says, thus the sin of the young men was very great in the sight of the Lord, for the men treated the offering of the Lord with contempt. Eli rebuked his sons, but they would not listen to him. Meanwhile, Samuel continued to grow both in stature and favor with the Lord and also with the man. So we see this. We see like a parallel in chapter 2. We see that Eli and his family are going down, but we see at the same time that Samuel is continuing to grow in the Lord. There's starting to be a further separation between the two families. Eli's house is eventually rejected and sets the stage for the Lord to use someone else. And that's where we are in chapter 3. We're at the calling of Samuel. The first main point that I want to hit is I just want you guys to see the faithfulness of Samuel. We're going to look at the first 3 verses for this. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. And at the time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. So we see that Samuel was faithful by ministering to the Lord under the supervision of Eli. John Gill writes, some of the duties, some of the ministering to the Lord may have included these things: the opening and shutting of doors, the lighting of lamps, the singing the praises to God. I mean, picture what you see. Like, I was an intern at a church, so picture what you would typically think of like an intern in a way. Like, I would run the sound because they needed somebody to do that. I was trying to assist in any way that I could to serve the Lord by filling whatever it needs to be, whether it be to clean the church, whether it be to carry a ladder and put it up there, or whatever it is, cut the grass. I'm just assisting in helping that the church can fulfill whatever roles it has to fill. That's what, picture that for Samuel. Also consider that Josephus says that Samuel was probably about 12 years old at this time. So we're looking at a young man. It's not as though it's somebody like Dustin's age. I'm just kidding, Dustin. It's not as though it's somebody who's old, who's just up here just doing his thing. No, this is a young kid. I mean, this picture like Levi, if Levi was the one who's here. So somebody like that age. Let's get a context for who he was. In this right here, we also see that the lamp of God had not yet gone out. This lets us know 2 things. One, this is really late at night or really early in the morning. So that's a time frame for when this calling happened. But 2, we see that they're still being faithful to what they were told to do. Leviticus 24, verses 2 and 3 says this: command the people of Israel to bring you pure oil from beaten olives for the lamp, that a light may be kept burning regularly outside the veil of the testimony in the tent of meeting. Aaron shall arrange it from evening to morning before the Lord regularly. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. So the lamp was lit, showing that there's still, that's the stuff that like he would be doing, like lighting the lamps, doing that type of stuff. So he's being faithful to whatever he's called to do in petition. So Samuel was being faithful. The second main thing we want to look at is the actual call of Samuel. If you will, look at verses 4 through 14 for this. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, here I am. And he ran to Eli, saying, here I am, for you called me. And he said, I did not call you. Lie down again. So he went and he laid down. And the Lord called again, Samuel. And Samuel arose, and he went to Eli, and he said, here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call you, my son. Lie down again. And Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he arose, and he went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood, calling at other times, saying, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. And on that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by the sacrifices or offerings forever." Now, remember that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. We see part of the outpouring of this in the fact that two times Samuel is called. Two times never occurs to him that it could be God. He looks, he runs to Eli, and Eli's like, "I didn't call you. You can go back to bed." It took the third time for him to say, "This is the Lord. If he calls you again, say, 'Speak, for your servant is here.'" So in the phrase later on down in the text where it said, the phrase, "their ears will tingle," is used in Scripture to show severe judgment. 2 Kings 21 verse 12 says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I am bringing judgment upon Jerusalem and Judea, such a disaster that the ears of everyone who hears it will tingle." So we see here that they're not used to hearing from the Lord, and we also see that there's going to be great judgment coming. I mean, we saw that whenever Doug preached last week. We saw that in the second half of chapter 2, we saw that there was a judgment coming upon. This is him telling Samuel what's about to happen. But the judgment of the house of Eli stems from the willingness of the sins. I mean, think back to the text. I mean, you guys can look and you can see that they were willingly messing around, saying, "Okay, I'm just going to like put a pot here. I'm going to stab this. I'm going to take out this chunk of meat, try to make it seem more holy than it was." We see all this taking place. Or we see the fact that we saw in 1 Samuel 2:22 that they would lay with the women who were working the temple. Like they were willingly committing all of these sins. Leviticus 4:2-3 says this, "Speak to the people of Israel, saying, if anyone sins unintentionally in any of the Lord's commandments about things not to be done, and does any one of them, it is the anointed priest who sins, thus bringing guilt on the people, then he shall offer for the sin that has committed a bull from the herd without blemish of the Lord and for a sin offering." Like the sins, like the stuff that you see in Leviticus chapter 4 specifically is for unintentional sins in verse 2. Like it's just blatantly there. Like they were willingly just not caring about anything that the Lord said. They willingly wanted to just do whatever they wanted to. That's why the punishment was there. But it's also there in an aspect because Eli never disciplined his son. The brunt of the punishment was on Eli. He was the head of the household. He was the one responsible to make sure that his sons walked in the way that they were supposed to walk. It was his job, and he didn't restrain them in the way that it was. And he knew that this punishment was coming. We see in Samuel 2:25, if someone sins against, he warns his son. He says, if someone sins against a man, God will mediate for him. But if someone sins against the Lord, who can intercede for him? But they would not listen to the voice of their father, for it was the will of the Lord to put them to death. Or 1 Samuel 2:31, behold, the days are coming when I will cut off your strength and the strength of your father's house so that there will not be an old man in your house. Like he knows this is coming. He's already told his sons this. We see that the Lord is going to fulfill everything. And that's where the call of Samuel comes in. And here's like the part where it's going to get really like the craziest for me and like the hardest for me to like understand. And I'm hoping to like to help you guys. I'm hoping to help the text come alive for you guys in this. So we're going to look at the third part, which is the testing of Samuel. So verses 15 through 21. And Samuel lay until morning, and he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He said, "Here I am." And Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you more also if you hide anything from me that he is from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything, and he hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." Like, let's look here real quick. So we're talking, he gets the call. The very next day, he's sitting there like, just picture it like he's laying in bed. He talks to the Lord. The Lord reveals this to him. It's the next morning. Eli walks in. So picture Dustin, because this would be a great example. Picture Dustin walking in, like walking into Levi saying, "Levi, what did the Lord tell you last night?" Knowing full well that everything Dustin's about to say is about the ruin of Dustin's family. Like, that's really hard news to bring in. That's what the Lord's doing for Samuel the very next day. So he's immediately tested. But the Lord is also very gracious. And the fact that Eli says, don't spare anything. Let me know everything that the Lord said. So he's already helping him out because the Lord is just gracious. So he tells him everything that's there. And how does Eli respond? He responds by saying, "The Lord is good." Even in punishment, the Lord is good. Church, hear that. Like, the Lord is good. No matter what circumstance you may be in, the Lord is always good. Good, and he cannot do anything that's outside of his character. Know that. Love that. And we see that Samuel learned to trust God in all things. I mean, we see in the second half of that coming down, it said Samuel grew and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, and the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Like, the Lord is the reason why none of Samuel's words fell to the ground. It's completely due to everything that the Lord had done. Now, applications. And this is where I really want to hit. I really want us to sit here and to think and to contemplate on the riches of God's word together so that we can hear this and grow and be strengthened. We can learn to sharpen one another. So the first application that was blatantly evident from the text is the importance of being a faithful parent. Eli's family was punished because it stemmed from the fact that his sons were disobedient in the way that it was. Parents, raise your children up in the way of the Lord. I mean, if Eli had disciplined them, it would have been possible that they wouldn't have been called worthless men. Ultimately, that's where it was. He tried to rebuke them when it was too late. There was nothing. They didn't want to listen to any of it. It's the first one. Second off, we can see that the Lord is faithful to his promises. We can see that the Lord has established a new prophet, and he's disciplining Eli's family. We'll see that in chapter 4. Like, the Lord is faithful to everything that he said he's faithful to. So how does that affect us? Like, we walk in, day out, seeking the Lord, coming to church. We're trying to share our faith with other people. We know that there are tragedies. I mean, there was an abortion rally here in Louisville, I think it was yesterday. I mean, we're sitting here watching all kinds of stuff, but the Lord has promised to us that he's coming back. So what do we need to do? We need to be faithful people. We need to trust in the fact that the Lord is going to do everything that he said he would do. He's coming back. One day we're going to be redeemed. We won't live in this pain and sin and suffering anymore, but instead we'll get to be with him in perfect fellowship. Like, that's coming. Take heart, church. Trust in him. Like, he is faithful to his promises. We saw that in this chapter and the fact that he's going to discipline Eli's family like he said. And here's probably one of my favorite points out of this whole thing. The Lord is with those whom he called. We see this in the last part of chapter 3. It says, as Samuel grew, the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. Samuel wasn't alone. And if you're a believer in here today, at no point do you go through anything by yourself. In all aspects, the Lord is with you. The Lord is strengthening you. He's guiding you. Trust in this. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. This is probably one of my favorite passages out of all the scriptures. It says, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. Ryan Fullerton, who's a pastor at Emmanuel, says this. He says, everything that you need for life and godliness is God. So church, please go to the scriptures, read them, love them, know them. Everything that you need to live the godly life has already been provided for you. I mean, you can see how helpless we are in Romans 8, where you can say even on our prayer lives, we don't get it right. So what happens then? The Lord, Jesus Christ, is interceding for us at the right hand of the Father. And the Spirit is at work within us, interceding with words too deep. Interceding with groanings too deep for words to express. Like, even our prayer life, we're helpless. But the Lord has made a way. Everything that we need is him. Samuel saw this. He's called. He's instantly brought in. The next day, he faces the test of saying, the Lord has said that he's basically going to ruin everything that your house stood for. He's replacing you, obviously, with Samuel. And like everything, like that's a hard message to give to somebody, but the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. Church, like we are in a time where we need to just trust in him and continue to try to seek to be faithful in whatever ways we can. Doug's message this morning was very timely. Like, we're a group of people who are called to love one another, called to sharpen one another. And the Lord has granted to us everything that we need for that. And at no point does he leave us by ourselves. Like, that's good news. Something we can really find hope and trust in. So wake up daily and just, like, remember what the Lord has done for you. Like, get out of bed, sit there and say, like, Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, that today I can serve him and follow him. Love him. And like, seek to share your faith with those who are around you. Like, I love Vine Street Baptist Church a ton. I miss you guys dearly when I'm gone. Like, I want us to be around. We need to share the faith with those who are around us. Like, there's a lost and dying world, and Jesus Christ, God, is faithful to his promises, which means that every person who dies apart from Jesus Christ is going to hell. And that's a reality we have to face, and let that influence the way that we share the gospel with the lost, the way we try to love our neighbors. Like, let that influence things. And know that the Lord is going to be faithful to those whom he's called. And if you're a Christian, he's called you. It's great hope. It's great peace. Let us pray. Father, I just pray that we seek to rely on you more. Father, I pray for the parents in here that they seek to parent faithfully in a way that honors you. Father, I just thank you for the aspect that you're faithful to every promise that you've ever given to us. Father, you are going to make all things right and all things new. Father, I thank you most of all for the fact that everything that any of us needs for life and godliness, like you've granted to us through your Son. It was purchased on the cross that we can be united with you through salvation. Father, help us to be better believers. Father, help us in the areas where we struggle with unbelief and rebellion. Father, please crush that in us. And I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.